Hello, and thank you for joining us today. You are going to be hearing Carolyn Glasso Bailey Foundation Artist Podcast today. Chris Bailey, co-founder of the foundation, and Carolyn's husband of 18 years, will be interviewing Rye Rocklin, an LA-based artist who is represented by the Honor Fraser Gallery. Rye is a contemporary artist based in Los Angeles, working primarily in sculpture. His work has been shown nationally and internationally, and he's been included in several major exhibitions. He's been shown at the Hammer Museum, the Whitney Biennial. He attended UCLA, and he has been reviewed in major art publications worldwide. Rye's work often makes use of found objects which have been adorned or otherwise modified. He describes this work by saying, "These objects carry so much resonance unto themselves, and in seeing how they can be incorporated together, these sculptures have not only a poetic intersection, but a formal intersection as well." Please sit back and enjoy while we hear Chris Bailey and Rye have a conversation.
Today is December 22nd, 2016, and today we have the pleasure of having Rye Rocklin talk here at the foundation, which is really, really cool. You and I were introduced in this kind of in very interesting way when in, I think it was 2009, Carolyn decided that she, it was her job, or it's her passion rather, to take over and help shepherd your career through kind of a difficult time when you were between galleries and kind of between big shows or kind of emerging breakout shows. And basically what happened was Carolyn and I went to the Brussels Art Fair, and we were walking around the fair and we stopped in front of a sculpture of your mattress, and it was right in between us, and she kind of introduced me to you there. She said, "This is Rye Rocklin's work. He's from Los Angeles. He's an amazing artist. I think he's capable of doing amazing things, and but he really needs help with his career right now. And I'm going to go down to when I go back to Los Angeles, I'm going to look him up, and I'm going to go down to the studio and see what I can do to take his career to the next level." Because I think she knew that artists could, really good artists could make really bad mistakes at that juncture of their career when they were between kind of in there right after their breakout show, and she felt that she needed to protect you and guide you into a way that I guess would make your career take it to a place where it needed to go. And maybe what you should do is maybe just kind of pick up the story and from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it, thank heavens for Carolyn Glasso. Yeah. So it was 2009.
Uh-huh.
I had a show in Chinatown that fall, or maybe it was that, I'm trying to think now. I think that fair maybe was 2010. Mm-hmm. You may have been right about that. 'Cause anyway, I had this show with a gallery in Chinatown in 2009, and after that show, my gallerist and I decided to part ways. So I was kind of in that the in-between space. Mm-hmm. Between galleries, and there was still some works available from that show, and I kind of didn't know quite what my next move was going to be. And it must have been the spring of 2010, because that I'm pretty sure that fair was like in April of 2010. And so, lo and behold, I get an email from Carolyn Glasso Bailey. And obviously, I was delighted to receive an email from anyone named Carolyn, because I've had very good luck with Carolyn's in my life. So I got this email, and she said, "My name is Carolyn, and I'm a big fan of your work. I saw a piece in Brussels, and I would love to work together, and if you could, you know, let me know if you have any work available, and like, yeah, I would love to make stuff happen with the work. And so I think I responded, and I sent her, I think, images of the works that I had sitting around, the masterpieces sitting around. And so she I think it just seemed like, I was saying this last night, it seemed within minutes I got a reply saying that she had found collectors, incredible collectors, to buy those works, and what else did I have?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a very wonderful beginning to what became a multi-year friendship. And so I think, you know, then I had the great fortune of meeting Carolyn in person, and she came and did a studio visit, and I just was so taken by her genuine kind of straight talking perspective. I was also delighted by just how nice and wonderful and just like she brought great levity to every situation. It seemed she was just a real shining star, and so I was always so delighted to see her, and she, you know, and then she really then that oh yeah so then from that moment my next big show was in the fall of 2010, which was at the University of Texas in Austin. It was at their new visual arts center that they were opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were mentioning before, it was like, it was an important show for me. It was one of the biggest exhibitions I had to that date. There was some budget involved. And so, yeah, Carolyn was really there for me, you know, interested in what I was gonna be producing for the show. Particularly this incredible pillow that you guys have
mm-hmm.
here at the foundation, called Nights Past. And so, I remember, keeping her updated on what I was doing, and particularly like sending her images of it wasn't even done, but sending her, kind of in progress shots of the pillow. And I remember to my delight that again was sold almost instantaneously and it wasn't even done.
Yeah.
So it was just she was absolutely an angel from heaven above who kind of came down and helped me when I really needed it.
I remember that after that show she got you. We had a show at the at SF MoCA, or I'm sorry, in Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
The house show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was the Contemporary Arts Forum back then.
Yeah.
But that was a very interesting show, too, because they gave you a whole room in a house.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool show. That was organized by, obviously, Mickey Garcia and Michelle O'Mara, who...
Uh-huh.
I think curated that show with Mickey, and so at the time, I mean, I've been interested in tiles for many years now. Tiles for me I've been attracted to tiles and mosaics in particular, for their ability to encapsulate a kind of labor or a sense of devotion to an object. Just like with this pillow that you have here, using these gold and silver tacks as a form of tile, as an accumulation, a sense of devotion to the surface of the
mm-hmm.
pillow. And so so tiles have been a reoccurring theme in a lot of my work. And so that home show, there were a number of different venues that maybe we could engage with throughout Santa Barbara, and one of them was a delightful woman named, I think her name was Betsy, I'm pretty sure it was Betsy, and so she was a, she's a mosaic artist in Santa Barbara.
Uh-huh.
And she had this wonderful room filled with her mosaics, and I had an idea that I wanted to do a mosaic floor for her mosaic gallery. And I had this idea that I wanted to shop at all the thrift stores I could find throughout LA and buy as many thrift store paintings as I could get my hands on. And fill those thrift store paintings, the backs of those paintings with concrete, and then use those as floor tiles. So
uh-huh.
you could in fact walk on these thrift store paintings. And so yeah, so that was one of the many tiling projects
projects, and then from there you went into the trophies and the awards.
Yeah,
it's kind of an interesting evolution.
Trying to think how the through line on that one. I mean, again, as you mentioned, yeah, my trophy furniture. Well, it started with a sculpture I did in 2011 called Second to None,
mm-hmm.
and that was a work that I made from over 200 trophies I had bought
uh-huh.
at. Yeah, again, some of my favorite thrift stores in LA. And so that sculpture, similar to the tile, I suppose, there's a sense of accumulated effort.
Uh-huh.
The effort to achieve and earn the trophies is the trophy as a kind of embodiment of a sense of purpose and labor and
uh-huh.
and so yeah, so I produced this sculpture called Second to None from these found trophies, and in producing that sculpture I realized you could make anything out of trophy parts
uh-huh.
and I was familiarized with the trophy industry and the massive catalogs where you can buy all these raw materials for the
uh-huh.
trophies, and so then I started a furniture line called Trophy Modern.
Yeah.
So that's furniture made entirely of trophy parts. But an important designation is primarily the furnishings are made with new trophy parts, because I'm very particular about the design and the aesthetic values of Trophy Modern.
Yeah. Can you, one thing I want to talk about is your relationship with Los Angeles and how you are, and Los Angeles is, plays an important role in maybe the idea of place and coming from a place. That was a very important theme to Carol and all of her artists,
mm.
had a sense of place. And most of her, when she started in Minnesota, most of her artists made work with a Minnesota sensibility or an idea of an identity based on place. And I think one of the reasons why she liked you or responded to your work was that you responded, your work was about Los Angeles. There's a, I don't know, you grew up in LA, there's a sensibility from Los Angeles, there's a relationship there, and I was wondering if you could just talk about that.
Yeah, I think I was saying yesterday there's
uh-huh.
a kind of inevitability to the work being, having a relationship to Los Angeles, because in fact I was born in Los Angeles, I went to school in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and part of my a huge part of my interest in art making is working with things I find in the street, and
mm-hmm.
so since I live here, those objects are from the streets of Los Angeles as well.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways I think in LA, things are allowed to kind of lay out in the sun
mm-hmm.
for long periods of time without people disturbing them, just
mm-hmm.
because of the neighborhoods and the streets are kind of a little emptier. So I just feel like it's a climate, like just like literally a climate that it bodes well for things sitting by the side of the road. Like, for example, if you were in Portland, Oregon, and you're maybe thinking about playing around with some pillows that you found by the side of the road, they're going to be very wet and very gross. So, yeah, there was a kind of, despite them being grungy and thrown away, there was a kind of sense of, what's it called? They're somewhat cleaned by the great rays of Southern California. And yeah, and I guess I'm trying to think what else. I mean, what else makes me an LA artist? I think there's maybe a, some kind of quasi laid back spirituality that is in some of these works. I think, you know, like I said, using words like devotion, or I think a lot of the sculptures I make are kind of posing almost as religious objects, and in many ways I consider them holy, as I do, like as a kind of general philosophy of like. Everything is important, but I think that. But I think some of that must come from this kind of like LA sensibility of like religion is something you make up for yourself, and you kind of create your own belief system, and then often in LA people then monetize and. Promote that belief system they've invented, but yeah. So I think that's another part of it as well.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your show at Honor that you know, just wrapped up? That was kind of an I don't want to say a different turn for you, but it there's a kind of a sentimental quality and personal. I don't know, personal history, I guess, would be that you've incorporated into your work recently with some of your clothes. And we had talked about that yesterday, about the interweaving between the formal elements of time and the form and the history with a poetic quality of with a personal history and not really a melancholy. You said that you like to have people be able to laugh and feel a little sad at the same time.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, the show with Honor that just closed, it was called LA Relics, and that show I think was a culmination of a few years of art that I have been making, and they're a big part of that show kind of stems from an exhibition I did in New York at Untitled Gallery in 2014. And for that show, I cast my entire wardrobe in porcelain. And so in producing that show, I had this realization that, you know, for my career, I've been working with found objects. And I had this thought that that I too myself was a found object of sorts, that similar to me stumbling upon something on the side of the road, somehow like me being who I am, felt almost like I like who knows how I became me, or and so there was this kind of sentiment that I the body or the person I was dealt to become, or and so. For that show, I cast my entire wardrobe in porcelain, and then have since like learned and developed that project to become to actually go. So for the show with Honor, I mentioned that because there's 10 works that hang on the wall, which, as you were saying, that show is kind of there's a personal side to it, which is. The show's called LA Relics, and I am purposefully implicating myself in that title, mm-hmm. like me as Relic, as well as the found objects that are also in that show. And so in the show, you have these 10 wardrobe pieces from that original series from 2014, but that are now produced in color. So bringing the color back mm-hmm. to those shirts from a couple years ago. And then it's also an exploration of a kind of time frame of the city that resonates strongly for me, which is the 1984 Olympic Games in Los mm-hmm. Angeles. And looking back to that time is the kind of, in my head at least, the kind of golden age of Los Angeles. It's a kind of mm-hmm. coming out party for the city, and also the design, the production design on all the different venues mm-hmm. Was done by a phenomenal designer named Deborah Sussman, and she, I think, was influenced by the Memphis Design Group, which is continues to be a kind of influence for me, being a child of the 80s and mm-hmm. sleeping in Memphis bed sheets, and so it just was like this resonant time for me. And then I was finding these objects that I was interested in working with, specifically an old high school locker and an old LA City trash can. And I just felt like, yeah, that these objects, too, similar even to my wardrobe, were kind of embedded in that time of the early 80s. Like, I was realizing, you know, the locker was probably produced around then. This trash can was from that era. And then being a thrift store shopper, you know, I had my Mervyn's polo, which I would mm-hmm. imagine is dated around that era as well. So there was definitely a lot of personal resonance going into that exhibition.
It was a great show.
Thanks,
Chris. Let's talk briefly about your tiles and your latest projects. And I don't want to say that a mass production, but making your art, the tiles and the idea of an unlimited collection
right.
that you're considering right now. It's kind of an interesting approach to artwork, and I think it fits in really well with kind of the concept of what you're trying to say. And
yeah, I mean, so I had this sometimes with it's great when artworks when these projects kind of can develop and morph into other things. And so mm-hmm. From the series where I cast my entire wardrobe in porcelain, I had to produce 40 plaster molds, mm-hmm. which I was casting into. And so after that exhibition, I had all these molds sitting around. And since those pieces were unique, I couldn't really, their use value was kind of undetermined at that point. And I had this thought, like, oh, it would be lovely to produce tiles using these molds, and so I thought it would be so funny if I could produce these tiles and they could be sold as a commodity, simply as tiles. You can buy one, you could buy 100, you could buy 1,000, whatever. We produce the tiles and you can do what you want with them, and it's just this production of tiles that are made from my wardrobe. And that mm-hmm. there was something kind of wonderfully strange about tiling your shower, bathroom or shower, with my clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just started producing these tiles. And then have since, which was also kind of great because, like, I had already been working with mosaics, with mosaic tile, glass tile. And so it was nice to kind of become tile myself and then tile things with those tiles. And so the tiles that you guys have here at the foundation are part of this greater series of tiles that mm-hmm. I've been producing. And so I've done a number of artworks that exist as wall hanging sculptures, which are these panels that act as display, almost displays for how your home shower could look. So it's a panel with a shower head and all tiled and grouted with these clothing tiles that I've been producing. And yeah, and so the tiles act too as a kind of, like, particularly with the large shower sculpture that I had in the show with Honor, I had expanded the series to use all the different molds I had made for a number of shows since 2014, different plaster molds of different textures that I use for different sculptures. And so for the show with Honor, I was making tiles using all of those molds, and then I used those tiles in this large mosaic shower piece. And I was interested in this, the sculpture operating as a kind of index or retrospective of the work I had been making over the last couple of years. So yeah, again, there's that kind of density of information, an accumulation of effort embedded in the textures and in the sculpture as a whole. And so yeah, I think I've been really excited with that evolution of the project. And I'm also excited that the tiles can exist as like a major sculpture that, God willing, some museum will hang on their wall. And then at the same time, like, you can take a little bit of that. You can potentially buy one tile, and that tile is, you know, just as marvelous as the many that are included in this major sculpture. But yeah, so like, I like that there's a kind of access point for friends and family to have a peace of mind that then can be a part of something a lot bigger and just like interconnected.
It's cool. I think they're awesome. And the ability, I think, for the public to basically have something and create something else out of your artwork is kind of an interesting concept as well. I mean, you're taking something that was discarded and turning it into something beautiful, and then you're giving the artwork to other people, and then they get to create it and put it in their home, perhaps put it in their shower or put it on their wall and in a collection to create something new and beautiful that's unique. It really does makes an amazing kind of full circle for your work.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, do you, that's all I wanted to say. Do you guys have anything else?
Well, just again to thank you and Lila so much, and obviously to Carolyn up there, for just you guys being the best and continuing all this great work here in Ojai, and for including me in that wonderful journey. So thank you, Chris, and thank you, Lana.
All right, thank you, Roy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.